Welcome. My name is Declan. I'm a librarian with Kilkenny County Council Library Service and I'm based in the Local Studies Department. In our second short talk today, we're going to look at coal mining in Castlecomer. We look at some of the coal seams, how coal was transported, the houses of the miners, and some insight into the early lives of miners. The civil parish of Castlecomer is one of the largest in the County of Kilkenny. It is situated in the northeast of the county in the barony of Fassadinnan. The Castlecomer Plateau northeast of Kilkenny delineates the extensive Leinster coalfield. Kilkenny coal has been exploiting this area since the 1600s, initially in conjunction with the mining and smelting of iron ore. In Castlecomer, Sir Cyprian Horsfield extracted iron. In 1647, Christopher Wandsworth obtained these ironworks and the lands of the Brennan clan in Edouard. Early Wandsworth manuscripts chronicle the course of iron mining in Fassadinnan, the earliest mentions being of a furnace at Kildrawn in Edouard, and also a forge in Ballinakil around 1635. Sir Christopher discovered coal by accident while prospecting for iron, which was commercially mined in Coolaid Crut. There was also works at Faroda, Castle Mines and Coolbawn. Castle Mines, that is the Castle Mines, was taken over by Christopher Wandsworth and was the beginning of the development of the Castlecomer Mines that continued on to the late 1960s. Mining technology was archaic until the introduction of English colliers from the Durham coalfield in the late 1820s. Deeper mines were sunk and these were worked by steam-powered pumps and winding gear. We'll now look at some of the coal seams in the Castlecomer area. The 3-foot seam. The 3-foot extended from about 8 square miles at depths ranging from 40 foot to 100 foot and was in the area of Coolbawn to Cretyard. This seam was exploited from around 1640 and continued for around 150 years. Iron and a very high quality coal called anthracite were both produced. It was estimated by Robert Meadows, mining engineer, in 1875 that 50 million tons of coal were extracted. The method used to extract this coal was known as belt pits. Two vertical shafts were dug anywhere from 25 to 50 feet apart and these were connected by an underground passage which also gave good ventilation. Miners then dug out the coal on either side of the passage. At intervals they left pillars of coal for support. Very early workings were mainly open cast coal pits. The old 3-foot ran out around 1810. The Jarrow Seam. The Wandsworth family employed geologists to search for alternative supplies of coal and the next seem to be exploited lying about 200 feet from the surface which is near Clonean around 1740 and was in the shape of a horseshoe. The name Jarrow came from miners imported from Dublin, England to work there. The seam was first mined in 1797 when 3 pits were sunk at Clonbrock. David Ahern was the Castlecomer colliery manager and he mined at Ahamuckey and Monteen and put down boreholes at Massford where he found the coal to be 4 foot thick and at an average depth of over 100 yards. By 1814, explosives were available and steam was used for pumping and haulage. There was an aerial ropeway running between pits for transportation of coal. Eventually, 7 Jarrow pits were sunk starting near Dunane and reaching to Coolbawn. These were called various names such as the Jarrow, the Ridge, the Rock and the Vera. The Vera was so called after a daughter of the Wandsworth family. This pit closed in 1927 and represented the tail end of the Jarrow Seam. The Skehanna Seam. Before the outbreak of World War I, another seam was discovered at Skehanna, first worked in West Skehanna and then at the Deer Park. This seam was worked from 1925 on to 1969. Its deepest point was 700 feet deep below the surface and 11 miles of underground roadways were constructed. The pit generated its own electric current by steam generators at first, but all electric current was supplied from the ESB when that became available. Mining became automated from 1945. There was electric coal cutters, underground conveyors and pumps. The coal was sorted, cleaned and sized above ground at an installation known as the screens. There was also miners' baths. In 1917 a branch railway line was brought from Kilkenny, but after the Second World War transportation by lorry had become more economical. Finally in 1969 the mine was completely uneconomic, the losses per week being £2,000 and so the pit was forced to close. The Deer Park Mine. This mine was originally sunk in 1924 and was the showcase of the Irish coal mining industry. Sophisticated hauling gear, giant washeries and screening systems gave access to extensive areas of untouched coal. It got its name originally because a herd of deer that was introduced by the Wandesford family. There was one main road with smaller roads branching off. There was also a bath just inside the gates built in 1939. There was also various other buildings, bike sheds, offices, an ambulance shed and a forge and sawmill for making and repairing the tools that the miners used. A strong room housed the explosive materials that were used underground. There was an area for livestock which included horses, ponies and donkeys. At the mouth of the coal mine there was a landing area which was built on concrete pillars. Wooden props held up the roof for as a safety measure. Transport the coal to the surface using a steel pulley system. Next, the coal was tipped from a tram onto a conveyor belt to be weighed and checked, graded and lastly washed. It then travelled to the end of the landing to be loaded onto carts to be drawn by horses or tipped into train carriages and then transported away. Sometimes there were huge stockpiles of coal when supply exceeded demand. In the 1920s, the Royal Commission on Coal Supply estimated the coal still to be worked in the Leinster coal fields at 180 million tonnes. The daily output averaged 400 tonnes and 600 men and boys were employed there. Production in Castlecomer reached an all-time high in 1941 of 96,000 tonnes. Finally, in 1969, the mine was completely uneconomic, the loss per week being £2,000 and so the pit was forced to close. The mine was flooded and sealed. Buried within the deer park are miles of cables, rails, coal cutters, mining equipment, pumps and trams, and all the paraphernalia that was associated with the coal mine. The Bell's Heap. The Bell's Heap or monument was the most visually spectacular feature of the deer park. The correct name for this mountain of coal slack and rock was the McLean Tiphead. It was some 300 feet high and covered an area of 3 acres. Substandard coal, slates and stones were separated on the landing area and sent by a tram to a large mountain of waste coal called Bell's Heap. There was a railway track from the mine to the top of the heap, and when the tram reached the top of it, McClanty tipped its load. This mountain of coal and slack no longer exists today, as the slack was eventually used as an ingredient to make cement. Bell's Heap was transported by lorries to a cement factory in Limerick. It took approximately 15 years and a rate of 5 lorries a day to dismantle the mountain. There's little left over ground of the conical slack heap, which had been pulled from the depths by generations of Castlecomer miners. How coal was hauled. The earliest form of underground coal haulage was done by a single miner who hauled a basket or sleigh along wooden tracks by rope or chain, which was attached to a griddle around a man's waist. Later wooden wheels and trams were introduced that ran on wooden and iron rails. These trams were pulled by miners called hurriers, and pushed from behind by miners who were called thrusters. Pit ponies were also used for underground haulage, and ponies were imported from Dormingen, as there were none of the right height available at that time in Castlecomer. From 1925 onward, the trams at Deer Park were made of iron. By 1905, haulage of coal was mechanised with the introduction of a mechanised coal cutter and conveyor belt, which was invented by Richard Sutcliffe, who worked in Clock. A factory was set up in Wayfield, England to manufacture the said belt. Transportation of coal above ground was also a problem because of the rolling hills of the Castlecomer Plateau. The earliest overground haulage was a traditional horse and cart. Coal was brought to Loughlin Bridge and on to Waterford. Coal was also transported down by canal, but this was very expensive. Plans were drawn up for a rail and canals, but these were eventually shelved. In the 1830s, David O'Hare produced plans for the first Dublin to Kilkenny Railway. In 1918, the British War Office subsidised the building of the Castlecomer Railway to the Deer Park Colliery. The Deer Park Depot was fed by an aerial ropeway from colliers at the Rock, Beer and Skahana. The coal was carried across the hills in large buckets on strong steel ropes. The trains at peak production carried 300 tonnes a day at Crosby, 14 miles to Kilkenny. After the Second World War, transportation by rail was discontinued as lorries were found to be more economical. The Castlecomer Railway. The first mapping of the proposed Dublin to Tyne Railway was drawn by David O'Hare, civil and mining engineer. His family lived at La Rive at the Big Bridge in Castlecomer. In the 1830s, he produced plans for the first Dublin to Kilkenny Railway. He also organised link roads to travel around the hills in that area. In 1918, the British Army subsidising the building of the Castlecomber Railway to Deer Park. An extract in the Kilkenny People newspaper dated 26th of February 1921 stated as follows. Passenger working will operate for the first 7 miles of this railway, which is continued thereafter as a mineral line to Castlecomber Colliery. There are many public road level crossings, and for staff controlling some neat cottages are provided. However, the national importance of the new railway arises in the fact that it will provide proper transport for the coal, which had previously been drawn to Kilkenny by cart, to be railed by all over Ireland. Now from the pit mount, the coal may reach every heart in the land by the most rapid and economical system of transport, unquote. It was 10 miles from the Deer Park mine to the Kilkenny depot. The train track was laid by hand mostly on level ground, which was very difficult because of the terrain. Iron tracks were bolted onto wooden sleepers made of oak. Bridges were built where they crossed streams and rivers. The land where the railway track ran had to be fenced for safety, and iron gates were constructed, which can still be seen today. The train burned coal, which was not in short supply, and the coal drained its steam to propel it forward. In the 1950s, the train carried 300 tonnes a day. Coal mining houses. Commercial coal mining has had a huge impact on the Castlecomber area and pushed an end to the historical isolation of this part of North Kilkenny by giving impetus to road building and canalage, which gave rise to increased traffic of people and commodities. Recorded surnames of workers show English immigrants in the Fastidinan area. Miners were sent over from Yorkshire to supplement knowledgeable labour. Irish families became coal miners and wood hauliers. There was a dual involvement of state tenants in mining and agriculture. The building of a military barracks around 1717 reflected one aspect of mining society. Substantial new houses were built to house collier managers, a more ephemeral dwelling housed the colliers. In Tyson Siskin's Dorva, he states as follows. Their houses were ruinous, generally built as well as covered with sods upon which heavy stones are sometimes laid, prevent their being blown off. Chimneys or windows are luxuries deemed unnecessary, unquote. Tenants were allowed 4 acres and a dwelling, provided they worked in the mine when Lord Castlecomber asked them to. The impact of this arrangement on the landscape can be clearly seen when looked at estate maps from this period. Settlement growth is influenced by the road network. Colliery villages were built at crossroads. From 1812 to 1838, the village of Gazebo developed where the Loughlin Bridge and Tyne Road converged at Moonin Row. Other village settlements that evolved were Chatsworth, Clock, Newtown, Dunane, Boney Arrow, Clonine, Old Run, Massford, Jarrow, Sidegate, Monteen, Tiburow, and most recently Deer Park. John Edge, proprietor of Dunane Colliery, stated, "The population of the three colliers in Newtown, the Lordship of Clock are very great, with the working colliers in the little detached cottages quite close to each other," unquote. Another witness confirmed that the population was as great, if not greater, than any part of Ireland, with cabins studded over the entire area. So it can be clearly seen when looking at maps from the area that the physical landscape of this area was greatly affected by centuries of underground coal production. And lastly, we should just look at a quote on a miner's life. William Tiney's Statistical Survey of 1801 described the lifestyle of a miner as follows. The colliers are independent of accidents, unhealthy and short-lived. The settlement arrived at 50 years of age. The consumption of the lungs is the disorder which they usually die. For a year or two before which the event, they often drop continually a black spittle. Those who work in wet mines live longest, as they do not swallow as much of the volatile dust of the coal. The leaning posture at which they work is unfavourable to health, as the muscular action is constrained and partial, and the play of the lungs impeded. Many do not survive it for 10 years, though there are peculiar instances of workmen that have been in the colliers for 40. Unquote. Wheat and bread was the principal food of the colliers, which took with them into the pits. Earnings were generally consumed in the purchase of spirits, and though well paid in comparison to other labourers, in appearance they are the most wretched in the country, according to Tye.